Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Sujit DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 340, being recorded on the 22nd of July, 2020, with special guest Clemens Vasters. I'm Sujit, and on Teams with me, we have Clemens, of course, our special guest, and Kel Teeter. And before we get started with Clemens on a topic that has, you know, kind of came to us through a Twitter tweet, actually, I should say. Somebody had asked for some clarification on some of the Azure services, and Clemens was kind enough to offer to kind of, you know, explain what the difference is between some of the services, messaging services that we have in Azure. So we'll get to him in just a minute. But before we get there, let's just talk about some of the news. And Kel, thank you for putting some updates in the show notes. What do you want to talk about today?
It's around migrations. We've talked about this numerous times. We've talked about different tool sets that we use for that. This is kind of highlighting some of the newest stuff and highlighting some of the newest compute VMs and how to basically take control of these migrations, whether you're using things like Azure Stack, how to consider what our partners are doing in here. We've talked about Edge on the podcast many times before, and it mentions those as well. So it's kind of a nice write-up and kind of consolidation around the topic of migration. And then it kind of ends a little bit around some of the new capabilities in the hub for Azure Migrate. So we have like a hub up there that has all this stuff kind of condensed in there, all the information, and then some of our partners as well that can help in this aspect. So I thought it was it's kind of a nice concise write-up about migration, because that's, you know, it's something we do before, we've talked about a lot, but it continues to evolve. And then the last one I just wanted to give a call out was Inspire. So that's going on this week. And so I believe it's free. I couldn't find on the website if there's anywhere where you have to pay for it. I think you just register and you can attend. But a lot of good content up there from our partners, as well as from Microsoft, you know, product teams and whatnot.
Awesome. Thanks for that. Yeah, I was just watching the Satya's keynote earlier today. It was really cool stuff to hear him talk. And they talked about some of our partners, and they awarded some, you know, partner awards and things like that, which is what they do at Inspire. It was nice to see all the partners out there. Great. Well, Kel, that's a good roundup, I think, of the news for this week. Is that correct?
That is it.
All right. Awesome. Well, so, you know, as I mentioned in the run-up to the show, we got this tweet from one of our, he had posted something to the Azure hashtag on Twitter. And he said he's totally confused by event grids, event hubs, and service bus. Right? Everything seems to do the same thing. Kafka topic streams and KSQLDB, I'm not sure what that is, are so much easier. Kind of discussed that internally, and I was referred to Clemens, who is, of course, an expert in all of these areas, anything messaging related. But Clemens, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today and talk about these various services.
Sure.
Why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners, and you know, maybe we can dive into some of these messaging services that Azure has and why they're so confusing.
Great. I don't think they are, but we'll try to drive clarity around those things.
Okay, thanks.
My name is Clemens Vasters. I am principal architect for Azure Messaging. I'm driving the strategy for those services. I sit in Germany, so if audio should cut out for a second or two, that's owed to the distance between us. And I drive strategy for the products, so for all the messaging products, and also around interoperability standards. I'm in OASIS, that's a standards organization, and represent Microsoft on the MQP and the MQTT technical committees. I'm also engaged in the Cloud Native Computing Foundation, and there have been writing large portions of the cloud events standard and you know, the follow-up standards I'm also very involved in, so generally represent, and I've also been doing standardization work in the industrial realm for manufacturing standardization, so I'm doing standards and the outbound work,
That's great, Clement. So what, you know, you I think you saw the tweet as well. You replied to that particular message, that particular thread. So, you know, I know that we have like these various Azure services for messaging. Can you walk us through, as someone who's just coming in and says, you know, I have this use case and I need to use messaging. How should users think about the various Azure messaging services? You know, what is the kind of order of priority or workflow that should go in their mind to pick the right service here?
The first observation I'll make is that the Azure services are not unique in that they have similar in having different services or different kinds of capabilities, different kinds of software for different messaging patterns. That is something that exists broadly in the industry, right? There's message brokers and there's event stream engines and there are event routers. And there's a broad variety of different infrastructures that exist in the marketplace. So messaging is a fairly very broad space. And we simply have in the Azure platform several services that are doing the things that also other products that are in the marketplace do, but they do this kind of side by side. And it becomes very obvious that there are different capabilities because we have them side by side in the Azure platform. So we have effectively four core messaging services, and we have some extra, more specialized messaging services that are layered on top of this, if you will. So we have EventGrid, and from a pattern perspective, that is a push-push router infrastructure. You push events in, and then we push those events to subscribers, which subscribe on EventGrid on your behalf. So we do two things. We manage subscriptions. And then we also deal with delivery. So if we're delivering in a push fashion to a webhook, and that webhook is not available, or there's an Azure function that just needs to spin up from completely cold start from zero, then it might take a little while until that service responds. And we're going to take care of waiting or having to retry that that request. Or we're also responding to when a web service is overloaded and says too many requests, then we're waiting that out and we're trying again. So you give us an event and we deliver that, and we try to deliver that as good as we can over the course of 24 hours. And if we can't, then we're going to go and put that message into a so-called dead letter queue or dead letter store in that case, where you can then pick up events which have not succeeded. So that's a push-push capability. For most Azure users, you will find EventGrid as a feature of other services. For instance, in Blobstore, you have a tab on the portal that says events, and there you can react to events for when a new blob is created in the Blobstore. So a new file has been uploaded. Then you can hook up an event handler to that event, and then you can go and react to it. And so let's say you have uploaded a picture in JPEG format, and then you want to automatically go and recreate thumbnails of that picture. That's the thumbnailing function. You can hang on that event. And as soon as the picture gets uploaded or a JPEG gets uploaded, you go and then run that sizing function in reaction to it. That's something that looks like it's a function of storage in the portal and also in all the other management interfaces, but really is realized by EventGrid. And then you can use that grid yourself.
That was going to be my question. Can somebody just use it directly instead of through an API or something?
Yeah. So you can create a topic inside of your application, and you can also raise those events. And you can use the same subscription mechanisms. So you can push to an Azure function. You can push to a generic webhook, or you can also push to a queue. Or you can push to an event hub. And there's some other targets that we support. Yes.
Sorry, from an application perspective, Clemens, in this particular scenario, the value proposition is that the application can fire and forget, I suppose, right? They don't have to worry Correct. About the retry logic of connecting to that destination webhook or whatever.
That is right.
They say, here you go, and Azure is guaranteed to take it quickly, and they can, forget Correct. About it. Okay.
Because event-driven applications, one of the strengths is that you are building whenever something happens in your application, whenever a state change happens that is of some significance, it doesn't hurt to raise an event and then have that event allow other parties to build extensibility on top of that event. Let's say you're building a CRM system, and in that CRM system, you raise an event whenever a new lead is created. And then you are inviting all of your current leads, all those people, to an internal trade show that you have. And now between you sending the invites and the moment when that trade show happens, you get further leads. It would be nice if you could write a tactical function that simply hooks up to that event. And then whenever that gets raised, it turns around, grabs the data, and then sends an email to that particular person so that they also can come to that in-house event. So that's one very simple example of how you can think about an extensibility hook in a CRM-style app that you can, where you can hook up a tactical little thing by ways of extensibility.
Right. The way I do, and what I'm hearing over here as a developer, it's like a cheap way. I don't mean like cheap as in cost, but cheap as in work effort to add event, like send these events out from your application. You don't have to really, write some complicated code. It's just a quick API and that's it.
That is right. And we have a further capability called Partner Topics that's new. And that allows you to cross subscription boundaries, which is important. So if you're building a SaaS application on a high scale SaaS application on Azure, and you want to deliver events into the subscriptions of your tenants, then Partner Topics allow you to do that. Because typically you can only use these kinds of services within a single Azure subscription. And so Partner Topics allow you to break that boundary and build effectively a SaaS application that's publishing into EventGrid, but then have those events show up in the scope of your clients' subscriptions, also with your clients' access rules, using their own Active Directory, etc., on top of them. So that's something that we do with Partner Topics.
Yeah. One question, just you mentioned there, Clemens, around scale. You mentioned like a high scale app. So when I'm thinking about EventGrid from a scale perspective, as Ajit said, I can send events to this thing. It's kind of like fire and forget. Like I don't have to deal with like retry logic and all that. What kind of scale and how do people deal with that? Like if I start sending a million events for my app in quick succession, is this something that's like, hey, don't worry, we got you, like this thing's going to handle it? Or is it something people have to think about and kind of adjust some settings to kind of handle that?
As with every service, there are limits that are documented. So there's a limited quotas documentation that is there for EventGrid. And I don't have the numbers in my head right now, so I'm not going to make a mistake. But you can find it in EventGrid documentation. But it's not limitless, but it's typically good enough for most application users. What you should know is that the Azure Resource Manager, for instance, or Azure Blob Store, they support EventGrid natively. And you can imagine that there's a lot of resources being created and torn down, and there's a lot of blobs created and torn down. We only activate a path when there are active subscriptions. So typically, for most applications that you'll, we are working on some special new offers that if you look at the limits and the limits are not a fit for you, then you should feel free to go and contact us. I think if you send that AEG@Microsoft.com, then someone will get that email.
Awesome. And so you were starting to say, Clemens, like, okay, so that's one pattern, right?
Event. Yes. Grid. So that's one pattern. One is push. Then you have, and that's for events, and that's really for discrete events where those events are not necessarily related to each other. When you have events, so information about stuff that has happened and they are related to each other, which means you need to go and look at them in context, or you need to look at them you need to evaluate them over time, then that's different. That's a stream. That's not a discrete event, but that's a stream event. For that, we have Event Hubs. So Event Hubs is an infrastructure where you can send events, and those events are grouped by a key that you're setting. And those keys are distributed across partitions so that that allow parallel processing if you want to. and with an assurance that events that have been tagged with the same key are staying together and also in that exact order in which they were added. And you can then retrieve those and then process them statefully in sequence. So that's something where you need to have, for instance, Azure Stream Analytics. You can attach this, and then you can do queries over a stream over time and process them. And Event Hubs, Event Grid, I should add, speaks, let me go back to Event Grid for a second, that speaks HTTP. Event Hubs is the service that speaks most protocols. You can send messages using HTTP. You can send them using the AMQP protocol, which is our main protocol for all the messaging services. And you can then also retrieve them using the AMQP protocol, or you can use also the Kafka RPC protocols. We have effectively implemented the RPC protocol of Apache Kafka on the consumer and on the producer side, so that you can use clients that usually speak to the Apache Kafka broker and to receive or send data, and they can also interact with Event Hubs. So that's that second service. So discrete events, push, goes via Event Grid. Stream events, push-pull, runs through Event Hubs. And then we have Service Bus, and Service Bus is our queue-based message broker. And that's for commands or jobs and not for events. So there's a difference between those two things. A command is really when I expect something to happen, and I expect something from the other side. So I'm sending someone a command and I have an expectation of it. Events are being distributed about something that has occurred. And then you can go and send them off to whoever might be interested in them, but you're not having an expectation.
So you're saying Event Hub is more like one way versus Service Buses, round trip kind of thing?
So that's the first thing. So it's a more strictly one way to system, and it doesn't allow you to create topologies where you are correlating message paths, right? In Service Bus, you can have the notion of a send queue and a reply queue, and there's properties on the messages where you can go and express those relationships, and none of that exists in the eventing services. The eventing services are really just meant to send messages in one direction. So there's plenty of metadata that exists on those queues. But then also, if you are sending someone a job to execute, you want to make sure that the job gets executed once and not twice. So you need to set up competition. There might be multiple consumers which want to execute that job. So they're competing for that one job. So what a queue does is it gives that job, that message, to exactly one of those competing consumers. That is a facility that doesn't exist in Event Hubs, doesn't exist in Kafka. A facility that makes sure that one message gets exclusively assigned to a consuming party. And then the consuming party has that message, starts doing its job, and then it needs to be able to report back into the queue whether the job has been done, the message can be deleted, or whether the job had been aborted, and the message has to be returned to the queue and then served up again, or if the message is poisonous, which means that if the message were served up again, it would again cause the same problem. So that might be a malformed message. So in that case, the message gets dead lettered, that is what it's called, which means it gets put back into the broker, but then gets sidelined into an extra queue where it can be inspected. So the settlement of messages, taking, first of all, making sure that that job only gets assigned to one party, and then the settlement of those jobs in a transactional fashion, that is why you typically need to have an enterprise broker. In addition to further features that we have in there, where you can create entire routing topologies, where you can have a separate ingest endpoint from an egress endpoint, you can go and rewire them up as you like. And we have duplicate detection. We have, as I said, transaction support. And then we have features like multiplexing, demultiplexing, where you can keep millions of concurrent workflows or sessions or message groups. You can multiplex them through a single queue. These are all features which are special then to Service Bus. So Service Bus, you think of Service Bus really as the Swiss Army knife, and then as that does everything, but in a push-pull fashion. And then Event Grid and Event Hubs are more specialized services for eventing. And then lastly, and then let me just say something about auxiliary services that I mentioned. IoT Hub is also a messaging service. And IoT Hub is, think of that as a superset of Event Hubs. So it speaks for the telemetry channel. It embeds an Event Hub, but it has a gateway that is tuned to allow communication with hundreds of thousands or millions of devices. So it's for directly attaching devices to the Azure cloud, or to attach edge hubs or the IoT edge to the Azure cloud, and the devices get attached to the IoT edge. And so all of those device-centric capabilities sit in IoT Hub. And then under the covers, there is an Event Hub. So think of that as an event IoT specialized Event Hub. And then we have further services like Logic Apps, which implement workflows, and they do so with a lot of help underneath the covers from Service Bus.
Now, you know, Clemens, I think I'm old enough to know that you know, Service Bus, I believe, was in, I remember using it in Windows Server way back when. And that's made its way to Azure now. Is that correct?
That's not exactly the story how that all went down.
Okay.
So,
go ahead.
So yeah, I'll tell you that in the last few minutes that I have.
Okay.
But let me talk about the Relay. But that's a great segue. So the Relay is the fourth core service that we have, and what the Relay does is a bit of magic. It allows you to create a reverse tunnel into any networked environment without requiring VPN. So effectively, we are allowing customers to create a WebSocket-based tunnel where they can place a listener into a network-style listener into any networked environment that can see the internet. And then they connect, they listen for inbound traffic, but really they start listening for inbound traffic by connecting out to us. And we're basically managing those connections for them. Whenever someone connects to us, we then send that connection down to that party. That's being used by Visual Studio Live Share, for instance, as the magic ingredient for how two parties, two developers behind firewalls can talk to each other because they're using the Relay. Or it's also used by the Power BI data gateway for how you can use a on-premises database together with a cloud-based service like Power BI. So that's the Relay. The Relay is the oldest service in all of Azure. That service has been put online as a first incubation service on May 31st, 2006. So that's...
Wow.
Yes, it's that.
Yeah, I remember using that one as well. I definitely remember
exactly.
Using the Relay service. Yeah.
So right. the Azure Relay is the direct descendant of that service, and there is probably still a bit of code from like I would say like 2009 in that code pack.
All right, and I guess the advantage with the Relay, as you said, is that you don't have to companies don't have to open up special firewalls. Holes, right, to
correct.
Allow traffic in.
Yes.
It's all outbound from both sides, and you tie it
exactly.
up in the cloud.
All you need is a WebSocket tunnel. All you need is outbound 443, and you're good. So Relay and Service Bus were kind of co-developed, and we've been adding the queues and the topics in 2000, just about 2010. So we went public in Azure just with the Relay and a different queue capability. Added the queue capabilities then and the topics that we have now during 2010 and 2011, and then had a cloud service that mirrors in parts what you see today. Of course, we're now far more advanced, but Service Bus and Relay have been there for the entire journey of Azure so far. And so in 2011, we then also made a server version of this to support SharePoint, Office SharePoint. And so Windows so Service Bus for Windows Server existed as a support infrastructure effectively for SharePoint, but customers could also download that service. For a variety of reasons that are too complicated to get into, we have had support run out on that artifact in January last year, so that no longer exists. The good news is that we are now having assets again on premises because we just entered the public preview of Event Hubs on Azure Stack. Back.
Okay, that's awesome. So, what are the other any other updates that we can expect in any of these three services that just at a high level that might be of interest to our listeners?
Yes, we will have a few. We have some news coming up, and I'm not sure whether I'm gonna make any. Yeah, I might make someone's day unhappy if I go and tell too many of the secrets that we have.
That's fine.
but you should anticipate more interoperability with Java for Service Bus in the very near future. And we already have JMS support. That's okay. It's workable. And there will be news about this that will be fairly significant. So watch out for that. For Event Hubs, I think one of the areas where we have pretty good coverage in terms of compatibility for most scenarios, but there are some scenarios where we don't have where the Kafka RPC interface is not as complete as customers want it. And there's more expansion that we're doing in that form. And then probably lastly, on EventGrid, for people who have looked very closely, there is a version of EventGrid for IoT Edge. And so that's for this little runtime that can run at the edge for IoT. So that version of EventGrid has not gotten a lot of attention. And we might go, or we will likely go, and free that a little from that scope, and make that more accessible through generic containers and also in Kubernetes. So these are things that are that I can nice. tell you without breaking into jail.
That's awesome, Clemens. Really appreciate you explaining the various messaging services that we have. Kale, any more questions about Clemens before we let him go?
No, I think this has been great. Thanks, Clemens, for explaining this for our listeners. I'm sure it'll help demystify the offerings that we have here for messaging service. So thank you.
Great. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to this fabulous audience.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.